This week I spoke to Tom and Mo, a pair of surfers from Dingle who brought their passion for the environment to their business. I sat down with them to learn more about what efforts they're taking to make Dingle Sea Salt a sustainable venture.
Mo McKeown is my name. So we set up the business about 4 years ago at this stage. So we had an interest in making sea salt. I had been making it at home, just boiling off seawater on the hob. We both have kind of strong environmental backgrounds and beliefs, so it was always nice to try and source whatever you could locally. So that was really the very start of it. And we used to get a lot of comments about how nice the sea salt tasted, and people were curious about where it came. So chatting to Tom, we both moved here around the same time nearly 10 years ago. At this point, our partners are either from here or have connections here. So we both arrived as blow-ins around then and became good friends through, you know, we've children now around the same age, and we'd mutual passion for surfing and getting out locally down our local break in Cumbie Knolls. So we've been friends for a good long time, and the idea kind of grew from there. I think we thought that it would be a great product. You know, Dingle has such a good reputation kind of nationally and internationally for food, and then we saw a good gap in the market, I guess, at that stage, and really felt like this was something that had legs, and it was only, I guess, when we started looking about how you could do this on a large scale that we've hit many brick walls in this venture, but this was one of the first ones about how we could do it more sustainably. So
we looked into the different ways of making sea salt, and the more traditional way is a very energy intensive process. Obviously you need to evaporate the water, the seawater off, and then you're left with the sea salt. So we looked into different ways, and actually Mo there was spent a bit of time in France around Ile de Ré, and places where they have the large open ponds outside, and it's all evaporated off through solar evaporation and the wind driving the moisture away. So we looked at whether we could do that in an Irish context. Obviously the climate here isn't always conducive to good evaporation, and if the ponds were open to the elements, I'd say they'd fill up with rain quicker than we would get evaporation. So how we do it is we have a controlled environment inside a tunnel, and we can manage the humidity inside the tunnel by opening and closing vents. So our tunnel's completely off grid, and I say it's just the sun and the wind that evaporates the water off, and we've minimal input from ourselves. It's all the elements that does the hard work.
So do you want to explain some of the decisions you might have made to become more sustainable?
I guess our first and hardest decision was how to make the sea salt sustainably, as Tom has explained. And look, the power costs, number one, and also the environmental costs of you know, boiling large volumes of seawater under pressure just wasn't something that we were comfortable doing. You know, we looked at sort of the life cycle carbon costs of bringing salt over from France to Ireland versus trying to make it with sort of very high energy inputs, and just felt that, you know, from a carbon perspective, it just wasn't the way we would like to do business. So that was really the first one. I think another key element for us is around our packaging. We made a decision to be plastic free very early on. Obviously we see the impacts of plastic pollution on certain beaches around Ireland and of course around the world. So that's something we certainly didn't want to be adding to. As I said, we're keen to get out surfing as much as we can, and certainly want to try and protect that environment, selfishly of course for ourselves, but also for our kids will be out someday, hopefully, borrowing our surfboards. So that was, I guess, we made that decision before we realized how difficult a product salt was to pack. I guess we were a little bit green coming into it in terms of just understanding the packing technologies that were out there and what would fit with our plastic-free ethos. So we wanted to use materials that were natural and could be minimally recyclable, but either recycled themselves or, most importantly for us, was reusable. So we came up with a model where we have a ceramic jar. Ceramics, obviously, a natural element, a mineral, and with the energy that's used to produce it, as long as we could justify that the jar would be reused, then that offsets the carbon that's gone into its production. So that's where we started with, and then we wanted to look at a plastic-free way to be able to refill or reuse that jar. And we had to look then at different types of compostable packaging, and ones that had a sufficient moisture barrier to keep the salt dry, but also then the packaging could be put in the brown bin for composting, or home composted under the right conditions. So that's the way we've set things up.
You've won a few awards for sustainability, or have been nominated.
So, yeah, we were delighted to have recently won a sustainability award. It's the Business Post PricewaterhouseCoopers Sustainable Business Awards. So we were the sustainable small business of the year, which was just announced last month. So that was, we were delighted, to be honest. We weren't expecting it. And there was some really stiff competition in there, which in a way was really refreshing to see how many businesses are taking sustainability seriously. I think we're thankfully moving away from the stage of businesses saying they're sustainable and that being the end of it. So there seems to be really, I guess it's consumer driven first and foremost, which is the most encouraging thing to see, that consumers want businesses to be sustainable. And I think consumers are getting more educated about what being sustainable actually means versus just saying sustainable. So that's driving everyone, right through the food industry, from the producers to try and look find more ways to do things sustainably, and to the packaging suppliers, the packing technologists, to come up with solutions that are sustainable. When we started out on this, our choices for compostable packaging were very, very small. And, a lot of people, ourselves included, have been asking the questions of suppliers, and we've seen more choice become available, even over the last few years since we've been in business, which is great. So you're starting to see that swell change a little bit, and we hope that those gains won't be eroded when, the next food fad comes in or things like that.
If there was consumers listening to this, would you have anything that they should look out for if they wanted to start making decisions to purchase things that are more sustainable?
Yeah, I think certainly supporting companies who are looking to drive that change, I think, is important. It's not the easy road taken, certainly. It costs us a lot more in packaging, and certainly the way we produce our salt means that we produce at a much slower pace and a much slower rate than other methods. But I think customers, if they're conscious of how the product is packaged. And I think the ethos that we've always gone with is like, we can always try and be as best as we can. Do you know? There's no right or wrong with this, but making small sustainable choices adds up in a big way. And I think that's really where the customer comes in. And then the producers then will have to listen or potentially go out of business. So that's really what we said.
Just supporting local is probably the most sustainable thing you can do. We've so many unbelievable food producers around Dingle and, of course, all around Kerry. And I think when you start realising that more and more, you realise that you don't have to go as far as you thought you did to get really good quality and sustainable products. You're not talking many food miles to get something from Tralee to Dingle or vice versa. So I think that it's certainly something, a small change that people can make. It was another big realisation for us when we were setting up our brand. We assumed that we'd have to go to some of the big, larger cities in Ireland to get the expertise we needed. But, once you start looking local, you start realizing how many, unbelievably talented people there are on the peninsula. And we were able to get all our branding done by a local designer in Kenmare, We had our photographer as well, our illustrator, and all of these people were literally on our doorstep, and we weren't aware of that. So, you know, you can make those local choices in lots of ways for your business.
I suppose for a company like us, it's important to be constantly looking for ways that we can reduce our carbon footprint and reduce our waste. I think it's a journey that we're on, that we're never going to have completed that task, I think, and it's important to keep striving to make those changes. We have intentions of coming out with flavoured ranges in the future, and again, all that will be based on what we can grow ourselves or forage ourselves, or certainly obtain as locally as possible with the minimal food miles, as opposed to importing ingredients from overseas and things like that.
Look, we've tried to be as sustainable as possible in every aspect of our business, and that will hopefully include our plans to grow in the future. The way we've researched and developed our evaporation tunnels is in a way that they can be modular. And so when we look to scale up our business, we'll be hoping to do so soon, but it'll be in a way that we can grow sustainably.
Our sort of modus operandi has always been to create a quality product, and it was great to have won a Blosna Heron Award a couple of years back. That really cemented the fact that you don't have to compromise on quality in order to produce a sustainable food product.